with our message and continue in our theme of hope that we've been working through the last 2 weeks. This will be week three, and we'll conclude it next week, which is week four. I just want to share with you a really interesting, I think exciting kind of article that I read in the paper this last week. So often in these kind of trying times, it's when we see people really step up to the plate and bless other people, bring hope into other people's lives. And the story I read this week is actually out of Ohio, and it's a businessman that is, the business oversees a lot of real estate investment. And when the whole coronavirus hit, the gentleman that's the CEO for this company invested in the stock market when it plummeted. And he invested a large sum of money, and in 8 days, he had made about $1.6 million. Now, the article went on to say $1.6 million can do a lot for somebody. It can buy you really nice cars, really nice houses. It can take you to early retirement. But then the article goes on to say that the CEO did not use a penny of it for his own purposes. What he did was he took that $1.6 million and he gave it to his employees. He has 400 employees, and the average employee receives somewhere between $4,000 and $9,000 as a bonus. And then beyond that, he also, as the coronavirus took off and people were needing to figure out childcare and all that, he also decided to pick up all the expenses of childcare for their families. So it's just incredible to me that out of such challenging times, sometimes can come the greatest stories of generosity and kindness. So I just wanted to share that with you for whatever it's worth. As we get going this morning, I'm going to take us back a little bit in life. Some of you were going way before your time, and others not so much. So this right here is an 8-track tape, 8-track tape. Before this, in 1930, was vinyl records. I don't have a vinyl record with me, but vinyl records started in about 1930. And then the 8-track tapes came out in 1968, and they were around until about 1975. And then we got cassette tapes. And the cassette tapes, the big advantage to the cassette tapes over the 8-track tape is you can take this and you can record your own stuff on it instead of just listening to what's pre-recorded on it. So we moved to cassette tapes. Many of us are beginning to remember these times. But the frustrating part of cassette tapes was if you wanted to skip a track, trying to figure out where to fast forward to and stop and fast forward to and stop, it was a crazy pain. So then comes the CD. The CDs were great because you could just skip from one song to the next. The quality of the music was so much better than the cassette tape. So many advantages when the CDs came out. But then we discovered that to take CD music portable required a pretty big portable device that you would have to wear or keep with you somewhere if you wanted to listen to that. So then came MP3 players, which most of us now are familiar with. It went from MP3 players to just putting it on our phones. We already got our phones with us, so we put it on our phones and we can listen to music. And then from there, we've now gone to streaming services where we don't even have to have it on one certain phone. You can just log into your streaming service on whatever device you have and you can listen to the music that you want to listen to. In each of these upgrades, someone had to hope for a better means of delivering music and have faith in the fact that it could be invented, even though the end product was unknown, even though they didn't know where they were going with it, even though when they decided they were going from an 8-track tape to a cassette tape, they had no clue what that would look like or what that would entail. Because of their faith in a better way, their belief in that this could be done better, they began to think and to invent. Our actions will follow our faith. We all need something to hope in. The hope that we have can inspire great faith and great confidence in us. Hope and faith are linked really closely together, I believe. When it comes to our hopes, we have to decide if we are going to believe it or not. if we will have faith in an idea, in a thought, in a product, or a person, or if we will not. When we think of the whole concept of God, it can be overwhelming. Last week, if you recall, we spoke a bit about the idea of hoping for things that seem beyond reason, beyond what we can dream of, beyond what our minds can even determine to be a reasonable reality or possibility. For people that dream of and invent new things like A-tracks, cassettes, MP3 players, they typically have many failures that are a part of their journey. Way more failures than successes. They have to continue to hope and to have faith in their concepts and ideas in order to reach the end goal. Ultimately, it comes down to a choice to have faith to move forward because they know something better is out there. There will come a time when you, when I, face a crossroads in life where we will have to decide if we are going to believe or not concerning God. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to have you go ahead and turn there. We're going to be reading just really the first 5 or 6 verses. But before we get into those verses, let me just set the stage a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great verse. It's kind of known as the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And in the book of Hebrews, for pretty much 40 verses, it is listing different people that had faith in God and it pleased God to no end that they were faithful. And he calls them righteous as a result of that. The chapter lists these saints and their faithfulness to God that led them to do amazing things. And more importantly than doing those amazing things, it says it was pleasing to God. What you believe or where you place your hope will determine your behaviors, your actions, the investment of your time and yourself in this life. So as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it simply says this. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is being confident of what we hope for and certain and having assurance about what we do not see. So I want us to begin this morning by looking at two attributes of faith. Chapter 11 starts out by telling us what faith does and what faith is. Christian faith can be defined as an absolute and complete trust in God's word because of the sufficiency of the evidence. Real hope, real faith, have a relationship with the heart, mind, and soul of the one possessing them. In verse 1, we have a couple of ways that faith is expressed. The first way, number 1A, is first, we see that faith is confidence, faith is assurance of things that are hoped for. Eyesight that each one of us have produces a conviction about objects in the physical world. Right? We can make a conviction on something, we can believe that something is true because of our eyesight that we can see it. Whereas faith produces the same convictions for the spiritual realm of life, for the things that we cannot see. Faith displays itself by producing an assurance that what we hope for will come to pass. The word translated confidence or assurance, used about 5 times, and it gives the thought of processing a title deed to a property. It makes something concrete. It creates an assurance of a real estate deal that's gone on. Faithfulness is the foundation of all the Christian life and all that it involves. When we miss this, we miss the heart of the Christian lifestyle. Faith is critical. Hear me on this. Faith is critical to living our lives as believers. Faithfulness is what we are to build our life on. Our faith is the assurance we hold for the things, for the promises of God, for heaven, for eternal life. Our faith is the assurance that we hold for those things that are hoped for in life. Faith is living in a hope that is so real that it gives us absolute assurance in God. Faith is not about just wishful thinking. Real hope cannot be based on simply wishful thinking. Wishful thinking does not possess assurance. Faith is knowing God and acting accordingly. When you look through chapter 11, all the saints mentioned, they acted out because of their faith. And it was completely fulfilled by God's promises. It was based on assurance of hope. Here's the thing. Faith is needed in good and difficult times. Revelation 2, verse 10 tells us, it says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation." And then it goes on to say, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Faith is needed in the good times, and it's easiest in the good times. But faith is needed in the difficult times as well. When times of difficulty come true, faith based in the things of that are hoped for will allow you to stay true to God. Number 1B, a second attribute of faith is that faith is also conviction of things not seen. That's what our verse told us. Verse 1 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Conviction is a belief or opinion that is held incredibly firm. In this context, it's an inward persuasion that has an effect on the soul. So I don't know about you guys, but I am a person that I enjoy to watch true crime stories. So whether it be American Greed or Dateline or 48 Hours, those are my kind of shows that I really enjoy watching. And in a criminal trial, or in one of those kind of shows, for a conviction to happen, there needs to be strong evidence against the person that's being convicted. The better the evidence, the more substantiated the evidence is that can be presented. If they can present the smoking gun of evidences, right? The greater the chance of a conviction taking place. So often as we watch these shows at our house, if Rachel and I are watching or the kids are watching it with us, when we get close to the end, we'll kind of hit pause on it. We'll say, would you be able to put the person in jail off of what you've heard in the last 45 minutes? And then we have these discussions as to whether or not we feel like there's enough evidence to put the person into jail, to convict the person of what they've been charged with. For the heart and soul of a person to change, there needs to be a conviction concerning the reality of Jesus. That there needs to be clear evidence of the difference that Christ makes in our lives. There needs to be a smoking gun of evidence as we live our lives as Christ followers. When we have that conviction, it will lead us to follow Jesus. Chapter 11 is full, absolutely full. And I encourage you, take some time this afternoon. Take some time as soon as we're done service this morning and just read through chapter 11. It's only 39 or 40 verses. But it's full of people that had faith in God. What kept these saints of old following God was their conviction of things not seen. The things not seen are the promises of God in which our hope is built. So I want us to move on down to verse 2. And as we go to verse 2, it says this, and I'll just start at verse 1 again. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." This is what the folks of old were commended for. So number 2 this morning is an affirmation of faith. We're going to look at an affirmation of faith that we see here. The people spoken of here are the ones mentioned in chapter 11, the next 39 verses, as an example of what pleases God. So if we want to know with our lives what pleases God, a great spot for us to look is in Hebrews chapter 11. And read through it, and we will see the kind of faithfulness that God would desire for our lives in order for us to please God. Their faithfulness is the key to receiving God's approval. Faithfulness will result in God's approval. When you read through Hebrews 11, each of the people commended by God in the passage finished the course. They completed the race. That they did and were faithful to God's plan for their lives, God's calling on their lives. They displayed their faithfulness by what they did, not by empty words, but by actions based on their convictions and the assurance of their hope. Each person mentioned, from Moses to Abraham, did what they did because they were faithful to God. Their faith is on display for us as an encouragement and as a reminder that being faithful is what pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 6, just down a few verses, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Understand this. Even though these people that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, even though they were full of conviction, it's not like they were without struggles. If you go back and actually look at their stories and spend some time researching and understanding the depths of their stories, it's not like these people did not have struggles. You will also have struggles at time in life. It does not mean that all is lost. That's the hope that we gain from these stories. We can rely on God's grace. We can rely on God's help when we are willing to repent and confess when we fall short, when we get off track. 1 John chapter 1, 9, verse I love dearly, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This is a verse of great hope for us as we venture through life, as we fail at times. He is faithful and quick to forgive us. In verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11, it goes on to say, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." What is seen is not made out of what is visible. Next, I want us to look at the illustration of faith that we have here. When we talk about two of the elements of faith being the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, one of the areas in which our faith is exhibited is our trust in God's Word, and it goes all the way back to the beginning. Our trust in God's Word telling us that God created the universe by His Word. Genesis 1:1, so many people know this one. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Creation shouts out that there is an intelligence, not an accident, behind it. I think one of the beautiful things about these last 8 weeks now that we've been going through is, at least in our household, we've had a little bit more time outside. So we've been spending a lot of time walking, and we've been walking the campus of Lebanon Valley College. We've been walking the streets of Annville. We've been walking wherever we can kind of walk. As we go on these walks, we see this creation of God, and we see it going from spring where there's nothing on trees to all of a sudden there's leaves, to there's beautiful flowers, to there's buds, and then they're actually blooming. And then we see how that affects the rest of nature. We see how different bugs, insects, we have bees in our house, so we see how bees go and they pollinate those things. And there's no way in my mind that all this just came from nothing. When verse 3 speaks of us understanding that the universe was created by the Word of God, it tells us that because we are determined to be faithful, we choose to believe what God says. If God did not create, then there would be no God. Psalm 33 verse 6 tells us, it says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host." Genesis gets attacked because it's the foundation of which everything else is built on. As believers, we need to stop trying to meld men's theories and God's word. We should not be ashamed of the fact that God created. To me, God created is so much easier to believe than things just coming together randomly, without any thought, just forming out of nothing. That's harder to grasp and understand and believe than a God that's mindful, a God that's purposeful, putting together things to create this earth. The Hebrews writer reminds us that God did not borrow materials to create. It says, "So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Right? God started with nothing, and God created everything. I want us to look at verse 4. In verse 4, it continues on and it says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead." With our final minutes, I want us to look at number 4, the act of faith. Once again, we see the statement "by faith." It means that Abel was determined to be faithful to God. Because he was determined to be faithful and pleasing to God, he offered up a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. His offering was more acceptable to God, the scripture says, because it was offered in faith. Our verse in Hebrews 11 tells us that because of his offering to God, he was pronounced by God to be what? To be righteous. God testified to the fact that Abel was righteous before him because of his faithfulness to God. Abel's faith was demonstrated by his offering. How are you demonstrating your faith in God today? God looked at Abel's heart, not at the gift itself. And because of his faithfulness, Abel still speaks, the last verse, the last sentence in that verse says. It says, "And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead." Abel still speaks to us today through the pages of Scripture, even though he is long gone and dead. His story is still there for us to learn from, to be encouraged by, and to be challenged by. When we consider the subject of hope, we see that our hope in God is the basis of what we do or do not do for Him. Our faith is built on our hope. Our actions, the way that we live our lives, will reflect where our hope is placed and where our faith is located. Is your faith in word only? Or do you have a faith that leads you to be obedient to God? Do you live a life like one of the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 that is pleasing to God, that God calls righteous because of how they faithfully followed Him? Is that the way that you are choosing to live life? Is that the way that you desire to live life? Is that the way that you try your best to live life? Because again, God is a God of second chances. And He knows our heart. And if our heart is saying we are trying to live a life that could be called righteous, but we mess up, we have a God that forgives, gives second chances. Is your faith in word only? Or do you have faith that leads you to make every effort possible to be obedient to God? What that kind of solid faith really is needed for is so that we can set a goal, set a target of how we will use the life that God has given to us. Hope can come to each one of us and can guide us. But we need to have faith in what it is that we hope for. Let's pray. Lord God, come to You this morning. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the many hopes that we have in life. Even in the midst of what's going on right now with this coronavirus and all the implications of it, we still have hope. We have hope because we know that You are here, You are amongst us, and that You are walking this journey of life with us, Lord God. And we thank You and we praise You for that. Help us, Lord God, when the times are really hard and really challenging and we're getting hit left, right, and center, it seems like, to be faithful in the hope that we have. Help us not to be discouraged, but help us to be faithful, knowing that You are with us, that You are walking us through things. Help us to live lives that as You look down on us, that as we go from this world to the next someday, You'll say that they tried to live a righteous life, and I am so pleased with the way they lived. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You for Your word and the encouragement that it is. We thank You for the examples that we see all through this chapter of people. People that You gave hope to, that were faithful in following You, even when it looked so unrealistic. They were faithful in following You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.